That is to say, what does it mean to have gratitude that is centered on what God has done for us? And today we'd like to talk about the way in which gratitude rubs off. How is it that it begins to impact others around us? How does it show whether or not we truly are grateful for what we have been given or taking it for granted? The quote last week was, do we take life for granted or take life with gratitude? We want to have people who are grateful for all that we've been given and to live accordingly. As we head into this Thanksgiving season, we really want to implore this theme. This is a deep biblical theme of personal gratitude for all that we have been given in God. I was talking with Brian Ralston, our friend who preaches here regularly, and he was telling me about family friends of his who had made the choice this year to raise their own turkeys for Thanksgiving dinner. And they decided to name one thanks and the other giving. And I wonder if that's really the kind of gratitude that we should be heading towards, that you name that which you're going to eat. The bets are on as to whether or not it really will go down or if thanks and giving will become part of the family. Gratitude is so deeply embedded into the biblical story that it should be the actual expression of all that we have been given. And some reason parables, there are some stories as you grow older that you look back on your life and they begin to impact you in ways that you hadn't seen before, but you, for some reason, this has been a parable for me from the earliest age that has always grabbed me and gripped me in a number of ways. And it's a parable that's actually more about forgiving. It follows the question that the disciples posed to Jesus. How often do we need to forgive? Seven times? No, 70 times seven. And then he begins to tell this parable. But the great thing about reading the Bible is that there are so many aspects to texts that we can pull from and look at deeply. And this was a text that was brought to my attention this week in a study of gratitude that deeply embedded in this discussion of forgiveness is, what is the response to forgiveness? It's all good and well to be forgiven, right? Great. Debts are canceled. Now what? Well, we go out and make some more debts, right? What is our response to the forgiveness that is offered to us? What is our response to the grace that is given to us in Christ? And in this particular text, the absurdity of the disparity is easy to miss when you hear the numbers traded, but he says the one owed 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents is the equivalent of 60 million denarii. So a debt of 60 million denarii to a debt of 100. And commentators even point that if you want to just count these up in zeros to modern dollars, that's close to zillions. It's an incomprehensible debt. One wonders how he actually got it. Well, when Jesus is telling this parable, he is describing, embedded in this parable, the attitude of gratitude. That is to say, what is the response to the grace that has been given? And as you know, the one who had been forgiven 60 million denarii goes immediately. What is his first response to that? You would think. I mean, imagine yourself in his shoes. You've offered to pay it all back. He says, go and be free. And don't even worry about the debt anymore. What would be your response to that? Well, for him, he went and tracked down a creditor or a debtor. He said, pay up. The first thing that he did. And what this communicates to us is that being given great things, being blessed with wonderful things, does not by itself automatically produce in us that which God intends. We often say, if I only were to be on the receiving end of such a great blessing, we see our neighbors receive a blessing. We see people having success. And if I only had that kind of success, or that kind of family, or that kind of monetary income, I would be grateful. No. It doesn't matter how far you progress up the ladder of benefits. It doesn't automatically produce gratefulness. Quite often, it produces the opposite. I expect it. I deserve it. It's about time luck started coming my way. And I came across two quotes this week in our research for gratitude. And the first one applies to this very reality, both from Karl Barth. It says this: all sin is simply ingratitude. And I thought about that, and I go, I'm not sure. Sin comes from a variety of places, and I've taken the classical Christian position that it usually comes from pride. I want what I want. I'll do what I want to get what I want, and therefore I will justify the decisions that I make. But I thought deeper about this, that what he's saying is all sin has within it a layer of ingratitude. As the actions that I undertake quite often stem from my inability to see that much of what I have is by no virtue at all of my own effort. Almost all that I can really treasure, and that which can never be taken from me, is not simply something that I have deserved in this life, that it owes me, that life just is meant to give me that which I have dreamed for. And ingratitude for anything that we receive usually causes us to treat people in ways that are sinful. Not merely the actions that we have towards God. This is the neat thing about this parable, is that the guy should have been very thankful, of course, to the one who had forgiven the debt. But he's going deeper here. He says, what happens to a person who is ungrateful? How do they treat others? What kind of path of damage do they leave as they go out and live ungrateful lives? Not thankful at all for the breaks that they've been given. He's been forgiven 60 million. And he strangled the neck of one who owed him 100. There, and this is not just about financial matters. This is about life. From spouse, you're married, and your spouse invests heavily in your life, your career, places that you move to, the social environment that you're in. And the other spouse should be grateful. But often they're not. They just expect more. Children have their parents invest constantly in their lives. They're rearranging their calendars. They're providing for their needs. And often if you look to your children and says, you ungrateful. We've all said it. Well, we can't even say in church. You get so mad. You've invested so much in them. And all they want is more. And yet, you desperately want them to see, to understand what it means to be grateful for all that you've been given. If you look at it in terms of debtors and debts, this is what this parable is about. And gratitude for debts forgiven. You can use that analogy for any kind of relationship in life in which you think someone owes you. I mean, legitimately, your spouse will have racked up a set of debts they'll never be able to pay. Fair enough? I got a good list going. I'm hoping Leslie reads this parable. Your kids are going to rack up debts they're never going to be able to pay. I mean, and not just literally the ones that you've written a check for. Your friends will have done things that have hurt you. There'll be grave sins committed against you for which you could legitimately be angry for the rest of your life. And they owe you restitution for that. They really do. There's no sense in this parable that the man who owed $60 million just really had nothing, just kind of a fake out, as if he didn't really owe something of value. He did. But if we live a life of ingratitude for what we have been given, and we hold other people as our debtors, if we look at our kids as debtors who owe us something, if we look at our spouse and say, they owe me something, we owe our friends and our coworkers, they owe me something, what do you have? You have a relationship of hierarchy in which one is servant and one is master. And that is never a free deal at all. And those who stay in these kind of debtor-debts relationships with people, by nature, are those defined by ingratitude. It is sin. When Barth says that all sin is simply ingratitude, it is this. Jesus says, what? Forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who are our debtors. What he's saying is in this life, we have to let go of things that we are naturally owed, because what? Something far greater has been given to us in Jesus Christ. And if you step back and you look at the list that you've compiled to your spouse, your friends, and your kids, and you decided to just start making a list of blessings, it'd be an amazing comparison. How can we not look at our families and our friends and our kids as something we did not deserve, for which we should daily wake up and give gratitude for God, to God for, give thanks for his blessings? When gratitude becomes to be enmeshed in a life to such that they no longer play the who owes me game, I'm telling you, it's noticeable. The great Christians that I have marveled at in their lives are those for whom life has been very hard, but they have not allowed it to control them to such an extent that they live as if they are owed something. They know that they have been forgiven something great, and their gratitude causes them to go forth, to not hold things above others' heads. It's not to say, though, that anybody becomes a doormat. It's not to say that there aren't things for which forgiveness is necessary. But there will be many hurts and pains in this life for which no one will come to us and say, I'd like to settle the score. We have to let it go. And the only way we can let it go is if we have gratitude for all that God has given us, to such that that hurt cannot compare. That debt doesn't even compare to what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. Which is why, as we close, Barth says, on the opposite side of things, joy is the simplest form of gratitude. Let me say that again. Joy is the simplest form of gratitude. What would this parable look like if this was the disposition of one who had been forgiven 60 million denarii? He was forgiven the debt, sent out from the place. He runs across the path of someone who he knows owes him money. And immediately he looks at him, and you know, the initial reaction could be legitimate, right? I could have not been in that much debt had this person paid up. Well, yeah, right. 60,200,000. But we think that, don't we? We think if we can round everybody else up, we can make it happen. So the initial thing comes to his mind, you owe me. And then he remembers. Look at what just happened to me. Does that matter? If he had held me to that debt, where would I be? If he had held me to the fire for that 60 million, what would my life look like? The threat was there. It would be completely dismantled. And so now in reflection and in gratitude for what he had been given, he turns to the person and says, forgiven. I won't hold that over your head anymore either. Because I don't want to live a life of ingratitude. And the same parable can be utilized. Put yourself in the position of what's been seen here and use the debts to describe any kind of frustration you have towards someone else. How does it compare to what God has done for you? Can you put a price on the cross? Is it 60 million denarii? Can you say, what has God ever done for me? I hope you can, because that's it. Gratitude expressed in joy causes us to treat other people not as those who owe us something, not as those whom I'm able to disdain because they've hurt me in life, not as those whom I can control by being bossy or negative or even flat-out slavery. I look at people now in light of the gratitude for what God has done for me, and I let it go. I let it go. Would the world live in light of the gratitude that they ought to have for what God has done for them in Jesus Christ, in laying down his life for their sins? Can we really be crabby the rest of our lives in light of that? Can we really have relationships of debtor and debtee? Can we really do that in light of the gratitude that should be expressed for a gift we didn't earn, for a future we couldn't secure for ourselves, and a present joy that we cannot and could never manufacture simply by deciding I'm going to be happy? No, it's a gratitude that comes from understanding the depth of what God has shown us in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would strip away our ingratitude and replace it with true gratitude for what you have done for us. Help us to live that out, that it would be expressed not in sin that derives from ingratitude, but in joy for what you have done for us. Help us to give thanks for the little blessings in life as well as the big. Help us to see the ways in which your hand has been sovereignly leading us, yes, even through dark valleys, even through struggles for which we may not have been at fault. Yet help us to be grateful for life, for your love, for forgiveness, for friends, for family, for our spouses, for each minute that we get to live this life. Help us not to waste it in ingratitude, but to live it well in light of the cross. We pray in Jesus' name and pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand.